Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us this evening. It is a rainy, cold, in the 30s Mardi Gras. My goodness, I thought, you know, I was going to be a great day. It's been really nice the past several days, but today it is cold and rainy, and we just watched Mardi Gras from the couch. So I hope everyone is having a great day, and it'll be spring soon, and I think we changed the clocks back or ahead this weekend, so we're really springing forward. Today, we're going to be talking about chronic illness and how can you find a way to get better, and how did you even get in that spot in the first place? There are so many people that have had small things go on. They have colds and flus in their 20s or 30s. Then it starts in their 40s and you start having problems with your muscles or your back or your bones. And then when you're in your 50s and 60s, it starts to be bigger things like your organs, like your heart, or maybe you're having trouble with your kidneys or your bladder, or you're having trouble maybe in the 60s with, you know, your sexual organs. How did all that happen? It's really just a culmination of decades of not feeling well. And you just keep adding these little symptoms up, getting a few more medications, and getting a few more treatments and therapies. And what do you end up with? It's called chronic disease. And chronic disease can happen at any age. It could happen in your 40s. It could happen in your 50s, 60s, or 70s. It's just a matter of how fast that wheel is going and how fast you start to accumulate things that you really haven't been looking at or taking care of. Now, what we're going to be talking about today is simple ways that there's a center in Kansas. It is called the Hansa Center, and Dr. David Jernigan is the owner of it, and he will be speaking to us about ways when you come as a patient, you're there for a period of time. You're going to get all kinds of therapies and treatments, but it's not just like you come in, you write all your stuff down that you can remember on a piece of paper, you turn around, you have 10 minutes with them, and you leave. That's not at all what his center is about. You come there on a Monday, you leave maybe a week or two later, whatever you might need, but you're there for a concentrated amount of time. So if something is working or not working, it can always be adjusted. Isn't that kind of a luxury doctor's visit? To me, that's what I would think. I know there's these great places where you go when people want to go to a spa and they're there all day and massage and everything. That kind of helps your mind and relaxes you. But what have you done for your health? There really are not centers that are around where you can go and stay for a day, several days, or a week. And today we'll be speaking to Dr. David Jernigan about this. He is the founder, and he is a published author, and he's nationally recognized as a leader in biological medicine. And that's really what we want to talk about today is how can he help people with chronic disease? What are his toolkit? What does he have in his bag that can really help people? Because, you know, if we really always think about antibiotics, surgery, treatment, you know, injections, whatever, the anti this, that, or the other, that's really not going to help us. So welcome to the show, Dr. David. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Well, thank you for having me, Dr. Jeanette. And it's interesting, I was listening to what you were saying, and it's really a plague on society anymore. We're seeing what used to only be, you know, the geriatric diseases are now being seen in even our children. You know, we have heart disease, we have arthritis, we have diabetes, all cancer, all these things that used to only be seen in geriatric patients, and we're doing it to ourselves. So I know you know this as a naturopath.
Yeah.
You can see that the lifestyle that we've been living, the health through better health through chemistry, I think when Big Pharma company was using as their slogan, and that And that world that we our ancestors have lived, where they just basically could, they treated the symptoms. Why have a fever if you could just take some Tylenol? Why have pain if you could take Advil? Why have allergies if you can take antihistamine? The body never, ever really got to the to fight its own fights, and now we have these this entire generations of people that are finding chronic illness, not in their 40s and 50s only, but now as almost from birth.
It is,
and there's
that
really
something
nothing
how...
much that medicine knows to do for them, because once you've
That's
run all the blood tests, what it really boils down to is suppressing that symptom, as you know. You know, it's a symptom suppression society in medicine now.
And really, that's what I had said about the wheel going faster and faster. Things are backing down. You know, the age groups are getting them younger and younger. I mean, I can remember my daughter's in her 20s, and she says, oh, well, this friend has this disease, and another has another. And it's like, really? I don't ever remember that when I went to college in the 70s, you know? It was, you
no
know,
doubt.
We went
no
out,
care.
We did.
Right. It's just like the idea of autism. Where's all the geriatric cases of autism? There are none. There's no, like, elderly autistic people. This is something that's been, you know, culminating and accumulating in our gene pool. And I think that's really what's happening is generationally now we've corrupted the gene pool to a large degree.
And you know, when you look at the damage to the genes, while we can fix some things in some people now, I'm not so sure we can actually ever get back what we had before. Do you believe?
Well, it's interesting. I'm doing research right now, and I've developed some technologies that may actually help us to enable the body to repair the DNA. The body does actually have repair mechanisms for the genes. And just like a lot of people that get tested nowadays for like things like MTHFR, which screws up the methylation pathways, it actually messes with homocysteine. And these people can't detoxify very well, so when they get around perfumes and chemical smells and smoke and any kind of outgassing, they just go into major crisis. And it's interesting because very often we can get people out of this, and so right now what we're trying to do is document whether or not their genetic tests will actually come back reflecting that they no longer have that gene problem. And even if they do still have, let's say, a missing gene because of whatever in their family, the expression is really what medicine is pushing towards now. The latest science is the expression of the DNA through epigenetics, let's say.
And what I have found so many times, too, is that just recently, I don't know if you've heard it or not, but they said that there is a certain breast cancer gene that if you have it, a lot of women are having their breasts removed. And they're even going a step further now, saying, oh, well, let's do your ovaries too. And it's and when I hear things like this, I just want to cringe and think about how we are deforming our bodies just in the case of fear or just in the case of what the media or the hype and those other things have put in front of us, you know, and made things seem so, I guess, devastating. Yes, they are, but that is true. But in other words, do you really take a risk and just do the best you can going forward, or do you just say, oh, well, my gene says this, so that's what I'm going to do, right?
Well, it all goes down to the plight of the nation is that the dominant medical system is functioning from one model, one philosophy of care, and that's the suppression of symptoms. I mean, pharmaceutical realm right now is only working on, all the pharmaceutical companies, on what they call lifetime drugs. So if that's all you ever have coming down the pike for the average person is to go to their MD, who can't really do anything until there's a problem because he's not trained in prevention. He's trained in reacting to symptoms. I mean, by definition, that's all it is. You're never having cancer from a deficiency of chemo drugs. You're never having a headache from a deficiency of Tylenol. That's not why you're having it, but that's what's available to the masses, and that's why we get to win a lot at the Hansa Center, because we're actually with the technology and the philosophy to not be, like I say, the ideal doctor doesn't specialize in diseases but understands disease but specializes in restoring what's optimum. Because when you restore what's optimum in the entire body, not just pieces and parts of the body, like a lot of doctors, even in the natural realm, they're just, well, let's treat your adrenal glands for a while, see how
right.
you do. Well, let's treat the yeast for a while and see how you
mm-hmm.
do. Well, let's detoxify you and see how you do for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Or let's do a few of those things, but it's still not a total package, because when you restore everything that's gone awry, even down to the software of the body, we get to win a lot, because disease falls away. Not by treating disease, by being a master and a specialist in understanding how the entire body fits together.
You know, and so many times...
And how to get that optimum health.
And what you're saying, too, sometimes when doctors, they'll say, well, I'm going to work on this one organ system right now. And they're forgetting it has an interplay with another organ system or another part of your body. And by doing things in a circular time at the same time, in other words, you can't just grease one piece of your bike wheel and expect the whole bike wheel to keep going. You have to do it all along the entire chain, along the pedals, along the bike wheels. Then everything will start to work at the same time. It'll be rusty and it'll be hard to go, but then it'll eventually start going. And I think that's where your center is. It kind of oils up everything at once and says, okay, we're ready, let's go. Versus,
yeah, because a lot of people don't realize that the body is set up on circuits, a lot like your house. You don't just have one big circuit that runs your house. You have the kitchen on one circuit.
Right.
You have the living room. You have the hot water heater maybe. So anything that goes wrong in a circuit that blows the circuit takes out everything that sits on that circuit, right? So imagine that the body is set up exactly like that. It's energetic circuits. And on each circuit is an organ, a gland, a muscle, nerve tissues, different tissues, teeth. And if, let's say you have an old root canal sitting on one of your front teeth, well, that's going to take out the kidney circuit. The kidneys control the strength and vitality of your low back and legs. If you have knee problems, it's like the elderly. They just shuffle their feet because they can't walk, they can't stand very much, they can't bend the knees very much. That's kidney energy. The kidneys also, like you said, it's circular. The kidneys help run the reproductive organs. They help regulate the heart rate. So these people with POTS, this positional orthostatic tachycardia, this is one of those things where, again, kidneys play a big role because they secrete angiotensin 1 and 2, which speeds up the heart. So you got this entire circuit that's collapsed just from a root canal tooth, let's say. Or let's say it's some hidden infection in the kidney itself that took out the circuit. Multiple tissues and multiple systems have been affected. So why we get to win a lot is because in the very first office visit, the day one, we can get every single circuit in the body up and running at 100%. It's incredible. We get to see some pretty dramatic things just right there on the first day.
And that is what you need to see on the first day, because if you're not, then you're able to, when you have them as your captive audience, they're there. You can see what's going on. You know, you love this when people come in for a visit and then they go home. You don't know if they're, number one, compliant, if they're doing what you needed to do. Number two, you don't know if they're having any trouble with it. And number three, you aren't seeing any of the issues around it. So,
oh, I know. That's why we went to a 2-week
system. How can you even decide, right?
I know, because people would come in from all around the world. Seriously, I mean, word of mouth just spread everywhere in my career early when I was able to get some of these really serious cases to resolve quickly, and people would show up and just for one day, and I'm like, what do you think I can do in one day?
Right.
And I think that they were thinking about that medical mindset where it's like, can't I just take a collection of herbs and supplements and homeopathic remedies maybe, and then I can just go home? And I'm like, no, everything is a tool. The carpenter is your body, but the remedies are like the nails and screws and hammers that your body has to use, but your body has to do the work, and you can't fix everything with a pill. So a lot of the news groups on the Internet and all these other support groups, while they're good for what they do, everyone's wanting health in a bottle, and it's somewhat of a myth. Sometimes you need other therapies and you need other hands-on treatments. If you dislocate your finger, there's not a pill in the world that can fix that, right? Well, there's a lot in the body that just needs different modalities, different types of healing techniques and tools. And that's why I say now, is it's like, give me 2 weeks, because I know what I want to get done. Not that I'm going to get somebody necessarily cured in 2 weeks, but I can get it. I know what I want to get done. So if you're going to come from out of state or out of the country, which is what, say, like 95% of our patients do, give me at least that long so that when you do go home, you can actually hold the corrections. And that's what you were saying. Mm-hmm. This is like, if you're not running a clinic in this way, then you're just sent home with a collection of remedies and maybe told to do some bath therapies and eat a certain diet, and we'll see you in 3 months. And I'm like, seriously? It's never going to work.
I know. You know, I just love that.
Doctoring.
I love the whole concept of when people go after people with their diet, and they don't even ask all the questions around it. I mean, I have a background as a dental hygienist for 30 years prior to my naturopathic physician degree. And, you know, when people, I would be in clinic and they would be saying, oh, well, you need to go home and need to raw food diet. And the people look at you like you're half crazy, because they may have teeth that are missing. They may have problems with their gums. They may have trouble with their throat. They may have trouble with their stomach. Not everybody's asking all those pertinent questions. They're just saying, oh, well, you need to do this, and that's it. And, you know, I think so many people, that's just like, you know, the alternative sometimes, if it's misconstrued, can also look the same as an MD, as an ND, or as a chiropractor, or anything. They're all the same, because what they're doing is they're just seeing a symptom and throwing something at it, and that's really not what you
right.
want to be doing. Mm-hmm.
Exactly, and I see that as a plague on natural medicine now very often, is practicing
yes.
allopathic medicine, like you said.
Yeah.
They're just practicing the same. They're just going to give you a natural painkiller, let's say.
Yeah.
But if you have to keep repeating the same treatment over and over and over, you're not getting to the bottom. And very often the doctor is not respecting the wisdom of the body and doesn't understand how it all fits together, like we were talking about. What are
yes.
the interconnections between the body? Like, if you're not aware that the body runs itself via light, I mean, biophotonic emissions of light actually runs the body. The heart is imprinting the DNA through laser-like emissions of light information. Isn't that crazy? That
yeah.
should actually change what your doctor thinks should happen inside of every office visit, to understand that the heart is a brain of its own. So your body is really a dual processor computer, if you will, kind of a biocomputer. The brain was one of the processors and the heart is the other. Isn't that crazy? And now the ENCODE project that the National Institute of Health put in place
mm-hmm.
identified that it's not so much the genes, it's the switches that surround the genes, the DNA.
Mm-hmm.
4 million biophotonic switches that surround the DNA strands. Each strand of DNA is like 10 feet long. Isn't that crazy? There's enough DNA in your body to reach 477 million miles, something like enough DNA, if lined up end-to-end, it would reach from here to Jupiter and back again in one human body. But around each strand are 4 million biophotonic switches, like light switches. And that
mm-hmm.
light switch message is controlled by the software of your body. So I don't care what kind of illness somebody walks in with, I can generally make them better. No matter where they've been, I don't care what tests they've had done, because of the testing that we've developed at the Hansa Center, we can generally... We're bummed out if you're not better in some way in your first treatment and your second treatment and your third treatment and your fourth.
So it's a
really fun way to practice.
Dr. David, can you tell us a little bit about the process at the Hansa Center? So you take people on for how much time they can give, or how much time is it like do you do, how do you schedule out the time, or know what the patient may need, or and what type therapies or treatments do you have?
Wow, that's a lot of questions in one. Let me see if I can
do it. I know.
So what we ask for initially is 2 weeks, like I said. And people generally uh-huh. stay at there's a hotel. We don't own the hotel or anything. It's called the Crest Hill Suites. And it's literally in the same parking lot. It's about 50 mm-hmm. steps from the clinic. So which really works well because a lot of people, you know, that fly in from out of state, if they're flying in from out of state and out of the country, that's because they've exhausted all the options in their area. They may like their doctor. The doctor may be nice. They may be sweet. It doesn't matter. They may go to their church. It doesn't matter. If you can't get them well, if those doctors aren't getting well, they have to start looking somewhere else. So, like I say, if you're that sick to where you have to come, and they generally stay at the Crest Hill Suites, and each room has a kitchenette in it, and we also help set up, we're working right now to set up food, literally, because a lot of these people are too sick to cook for themselves and stuff, so making sure that these people get good nutrition in their hotel room even. But so then a person comes in, and we'll do like a CRT, computerized regulation thermography, and this is not that color, that color graph of a, of their body that shows all these different colors of hot spots and cold spots. This is actually a revolutionary kind of way of doing computerized regulation thermography that lets us see how the autonomic nervous system is working. That's that software of the body, those things that you don't have any control over. Most people have never really given it much thought, but they kind of think the body, you put food in, it just kind of bangs around until it finally gets to where it needs to go. You're just a bag of chemicals that just happens to work. But that's not true. There's actually, like I said, the body runs itself via laser-like emissions of light and all kinds of different electromagnetic frequencies that is much like software in a computer. And there is a control mechanism, and that's that autonomic nervous system to some degree where, and you have to be able to, you can't fix what you don't know is broken. So the CRT is one of those first line things we can see the entire body in one test. And it's not like blood tests. Like, I don't mind blood tests. It's not like we throw out science. We still use blood tests to some degree, but it was just like, and MRIs and whatever we need to use. But the CRT isn't like blood tests where blood will very often say everything is fine, even when a person is dying.
Oh,
as people have seen, they go every year to the doctor, they get a blood test, the doctor says everything is fine, until everything isn't fine, and then the doctor goes, oh, wow, this has been going probably for the last 10 years.
Right.
Or you or like cancer, you know it's been going by the time they can find it for the last 7 to 10 years. So blood tests, you should just smack yourself in the forehead and go, that's not a good way to figure out what's going wrong in the body. If you're just going to use that as your guide. So the CRT never comes back saying everything is great when everything really isn't. And it really keeps the doctor honest because I lead North America. Our doctors lead North America in the number of CRTs read. I used to have a report writing service for all the doctors around the country that do it. And I've seen some of the top doctors who do all kinds of nutritional IVs and all these cool testing and treatments, and their fifth and sixth CRTs look like a brand new patient. They weren't moving it for all those nutritional IVs, for the Myers cocktails, for the vitamin C drips. The CRT does not lie. It will not say everything is great when you're really not shifting it, even though the person's doing a lot of good stuff. And that's the real key right there, is you have to be able to get to the cause. So I don't care what somebody has. We have people that come with, I had a young man from Canada that came with 46 major symptoms. So obviously I asked for initially 2 to 4 weeks because I don't know. I'm just happy if I can get the 2 weeks because not everybody can just stay financially and logistically. They just can't stay necessarily.
Right.
Well, he just, within 5 days he was speaking. He hadn't spoken in like 2 years, I believe it was. He hadn't walked in 2 years either. And in 1 week, he was walking. I mean, and so they weren't about to leave the clinic after 2 weeks. They stayed and stayed and stayed, and every day, improvement, improvement, improvement. Because, and that's one of the nice things. We're right there. We're spending about an hour a day of at least, sometimes an hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours if it's needed. Because we will not treat a patient halfway and some timer goes off and we say, I'm sorry, your time is up. We're not going to do that, you know, like a lot of doctors will do. They'll have a timer in the treatment room, and when it goes off or something, they're out of there because they have more patients they got to treat. With this, we're not trying to be a high-volume clinic. We're trying to be the best, high-quality, maximum applied effort to get somebody as quickly as possible out of their illness. And like I was talking to you before, it was, I say, look at your doctor. Does it look like they're having fun? Because if it doesn't, they're probably not winning much, because winning is fun. You know, when you know what you can do, you don't have to be afraid of any illness that walks in the door. So our doctors will see you, like I say, an hour a day, and then the patient will spend probably another 4 hours in just various support therapies in the clinic. Unless, of course, they're too sick, and then, you know, they might just go back to the hotel and rest, and then they come back and do some therapies as they have the energy to do.
So when you
and we'll
when
do that
they come
every
to,
day for 2 weeks.
When they come there, they're really getting very intensive, very hands-on, and it's not like you know how the doctor sees you for 5 minutes in the beginning of your 2 weeks, and he'll see you again at the end.
Oh yeah, and then he delegates everything to some other person.
Yeah, we all
no,
know about
this
those
is very doctor
don't we?
Intensive.
Yeah.
You know what, it's interesting. I remember as a younger doctor, I used to get angry a little bit when I would find out that this person had been to some of the top-name clinics. I won't name any, but you know what I'm
right.
talking about. The big medical centers as well as the big-name natural centers.
Mm-hmm.
And once the doctors ran out of the tests that they would normally run, those doctors were not detectives. They weren't sitting there saying, wow, I need to come up with something new because I can't figure this out. They just go, I'm sorry, don't know what's wrong with you.
Yeah.
We can't help you, and they send them on. And that's what I love about our doctors. Like I say, we have a four-doctor practice, and all of them have been trained in the exact testing and treatment technologies and philosophy. So it's like they're all super thinkers. They are detectives. They can... You know, there's no cookie-cutter approach at the Hansa Center. Mm-hmm. We're not doing that. We're literally super tailored to that person's specific needs in totality. It's like being a master. It's like having to be a master of every aspect of the universe, because everything from barometric pressure changes to environmental frequencies to electromagnetic pollution to the personal care products you're using to everything from the outgassing of the carpet in your brand new house. Everything is something that the doctors have to be versed in. As opposed, I mean, sometimes it seems like it'd be so much easier if all I would do is specialize in kidneys, let's say.
Yeah.
Because that kidney doctor, if anything's outside of that, he just goes, I'm sorry, that's not my specialty. You know, we specialize in restoring every aspect, every tissue, every system of the human body. And in this state, we're licensed to do that, and it's just a phenomenal way to treat people, because you get to see pretty dramatic things.
I can remember when I was in Arizona, when I was working to see clients at that time, I would do house calls, and it was the same similar idea, because I would be in their home. I would know what was there, not just what they were bringing to me and reporting to me, because we're very selective and we don't want other people to know our what might be holding us back from healing in the first place. So by being in their home, I was able to see all of these things. But I'm sure you will find that out too in your situation, because if they're there for 2 weeks, whatever's holding them back has to rise at some time. So in other words,
absolutely,
you find all the ghosts in their closets pretty quickly, especially when you start moving a lot of things in your body. Whatever is holding them back will surface.
And I want to be really clear. I even put this on my Facebook. And if anybody wants to read my health tips, I put a health tip on Facebook every day. And it's under Dr. period David, as in Dr. David, all one word, Jernigan. And just friend me on Facebook. And I post excessively long sometimes, I feel like, because, again, Facebook is usually little short little snippets. But I have a short, hard time being brief, as you can tell. But educational things out there. And anyway, I just would encourage people to go there and read basically the philosophies, the different tests that we've come up with, because We're innovating all the time in the clinic. It just breeds innovation. Like, I developed a testing and treatment technique called neurophotonic therapy years ago, and I think we're very, very close to 100% of eliminating seizures with that one testing technique. I mean, just incredible. You know, and sometimes you go, how did you create that? Well, because of that mindset of like going, you can't just keep doing the same things hoping that's going to work when they don't work. And when you can keep your ear to the ground and listen and read all the latest science and some of the amazing things that are coming down the pike and apply that at the clinical level, it's amazing what we can do. So we developed a testing and treatment technique called neurocardial synchronization, and this is actually how to synchronize that dual processor aspect of the body and mind. So this, any kind of autonomic nervous system dysfunction, this dysautonomia, as I'm sure you've heard, is greatly improved just with these testing and treatment techniques.
So do people, to have what you had just said, that treatment, do they need to come there for the 2 weeks, or could someone just come and experience it for a day?
No, the clinic would get jammed up if that was what was happening. I mean, we're a very
specialized
clinic.
So you're just doing pretty much the
clinic.
2 weeks.
We literally turn people away like that, where it's just like, if you just think you're healthy and you want to come in. Unfortunately, we're really about whatever case that no one else can figure out.
Mm-hmm.
It's really about that. I mean, once you understand what it is we're doing, you'd want to do the 2 weeks. You'd want to do 10 weeks. Because it's just, who wouldn't want this once you start understanding what it is that we're doing?
And when they come there for the 2 weeks, are you having them come back again?
Depending on the
incremental periods
of their
symptoms, time?
Very often. Everyone, like we tell everyone, obviously if you've been sick for 20 years, you can't even get a blister to heal on your skin in shorter than 4 to 6 weeks. That's saying you don't pick at the scab and it doesn't get infected and you don't do the activity that made the blister in the first place, then it's going to even take longer to heal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's that same concept of like, it's like we like for you to go home sometimes after 2 weeks so that your body can then process through all the corrections that we've implemented in that two-week period. So we might say go home for another 4 to 8 to 12 weeks, depending on your symptoms, and then come back. And maybe you would come back only for 3 to 5 days. Because we don't have to do all that initial groundwork again, maybe. And then but like I say, in that first 2 weeks, you're going to know that we're making a huge difference. So, if somebody like the young man from Canada that came in with 46 symptoms, and every day symptoms were falling away or improving, he wasn't about to go home. He's just like going, he went home, he had like basically, I don't know, out of 46 major symptoms. I wish I had but probably just like maybe 5 or 6 that were still major by the end of 8 weeks.
I have a question for you. So if, let's say they're coming there for the 2 weeks and symptoms start to fall away because of the therapies, is it the therapies, are they making lasting changes in the resetting of your body and your DNA, and then you're able to hold that frequency going forward? But are there people who may not, and those are the ones that stay a little bit longer, so maybe they slip off of it. You know, they may come back and say, oh, wow, you know, where do we go? We need to go a little more here or there. In other words, readjusting. And I always think of it, when I tell the listeners, we always talk about frequency in the past in healing. I always say it's sort of like, you know, when you got to tune up your car. But everybody doesn't really know that. I'm talking to the older people now because they're the ones that can always remember the guy with the screwdriver, and you'd get in your car when they were tuning it up and he'd turn it a little and he'd say, okay, now push the gas. Okay, let it off. And it would be going poop, 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 poop. And then he'd say, okay, hang on. He'd turn it a little more, and he'd say, okay, do that again. And I'm sure, I don't know if you remember that or not, but you'd get it to where that resonance, the car would work. And then when your car was off kilter again, you would just get the screwdriver out and you would tweak another little thing and it would go great. So I always tell it to the listeners, because it's so hard to comprehend sometimes when you're just hearing about these new therapies, is that's something to kind of relate it back to. Just think of the doctor,
right,
as somebody, you with this screwdriver, sure, saying, you know, I'm tweaking a little, you know, and if you fall back on it, okay, that's because maybe you had a little more, you know, a pull in this spark plug or that, and we just need to readjust, you know, and that's what they're doing.
Right, and that's kind of the way it is. The very first week, we're dealing with a lot of the big obvious stuff. I mean, I can't even walk into the waiting room that I don't automatically know a lot of problems that are going wrong with somebody. I haven't even said hello. One of my favorite games is to try to sit there and when I do sit down with a patient, see how many of their symptoms I can already tell that they're probably going to have, just off of a little bit of information. But that first week, we're dealing with everything from the structural problems to the biochemical problems to the stress-related problems, not just emotional stress and mental stress, although those are important, but that's barometric pressure stress, epigenetic stressors, environmental stressors. But the only other way a person can get sick, there's only four ways, by the way, structural, chemical, stress, and bioenergetic, that software of the body, how the body regulates itself, and communication systems of the body. That's the only ways you can get sick. And if your doctor's doing all the chemical part, great, but you're missing three others, the structural, the stress issues, and the bioenergetics. So we're really processing from the really macro systems, the big things that are going wrong, all the way down to literally the software in the second week. So that fine-tuning of that engine, if you will. And you're trying to get that engine to hum before they go home, and by the time they go, they're just like,
right,
wow, nobody's – I mean, it's – virtually an impossibility in my mind that somebody wouldn't be improved whatsoever before the end of 2 weeks. And this is dealing historically with only the incurables, only those people pretty much that have never gotten better. They've either stayed the same with their illness or they've always gotten worse. And we don't deal with healing crisis. That's another thing where people are afraid to come because they're like, going, oh, wow, if he's going to do all that, I'm going to have a healing crisis. I couldn't tolerate that. He just doesn't understand. I'm probably going to be his toughest case. And I'm just like, I just laugh. I'm like, going, you're just another one. You're not the toughest. You're not anything. You're just another one, as you see when you come into the clinic. So
let's talk about that healing crisis for a second, because a lot of people do believe that, and a lot of people hang their hat on that. But how are you explaining that with what it is or it isn't, and what are the patients saying that it is or it isn't?
Well, a healing crisis, some people use it interchangeably with a Herxheimer reaction, but a healing crisis is where you've been incompletely treated.
Mm-hmm.
That's that piece of, when the doctor did a pieces and parts mentality, they said, well, let's treat your gut for a while and see how you do. Well, because your body... To go with you on your analogy of a car, I have my own analogy of a car. It's like an old car that got old altogether, right? The car just progressively got old. Well, if you go and put brand new pistons, it's an impossibility but let's just say you put brand new pistons on one side of the motor, but not the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're going to just blow gaskets all over the place, and things are just going to be, they're going to go haywire, because even though it was an old engine to start with, it kind of all got old together, and it kind of ran.
Yeah.
So again, when somebody just does pieces and parts doctoring, and even if they're doing a bunch of different pieces but not the totality of what's going wrong with somebody, you're going to have the body scream and holler, and that's what I call a healing crisis. So we don't really have any of that. I mean, it's really kind of cool because we deal with some of the most sensitive people on the planet. I mean, they can't even walk by a copy machine sometimes, or they can't even walk by the energized water machine that we have in the waiting room sometimes. The energy coming off of it would throw them into the wall or something because they're so sensitive. The smells, they're wearing gas masks, some of them, and but a Herxheimer reaction, as in Lyme disease, that's where the doctor didn't actually take the time to actually make sure that all the elimination systems were taken care of, all the organ systems are dealt with, and that he neutralizes the toxin. And people are not used to this idea that we can actually frequency match from the toxin to the actual substance that would neutralize that toxin, where it sits. I'm not a big fan of dragging toxins out of some tissue, dragging it out into operating,
yeah.
I mean, into the circulatory system,
yeah.
dragging it through the liver, and they have,
yeah.
I mean, and it may get lodged in their brain, and then they have to
yeah,
stop
or
the
even
treatment
putting
because
it. Having a second go round at reabsorption again is even better. Isn't that funny when they do that?
Oh my gosh!
It's just
yes.
you just
as
want to go. Are you out of your
syndrome.
Crazy mind? Yeah. Mhm.
So if you could frequency match from the toxin to
yeah.
what would actually the body could use to neutralize that toxin, it's like
mm-hmm.
adding an antacid into hydrochloric acid would neutralize
yeah.
the acid, right? It wouldn't
right.
be an acid anymore. It wouldn't act like an acid. It won't burn you. Because it's neutralized. And so the body can actually get rid of that thing that used to be a toxin
mm-hmm.
through normal elimination pathways, and the person doesn't have the severe toxic effect of detoxing. It's really a phenomenal way to work. But you could not do that if you couldn't do the frequency testing that we do that's called bioresonant scanning. And that's not associated with any computer test. That's actually a very manual test that I developed about 20 years ago. And I wrote about that in my book. My book is called Beating Lyme Disease, but it really should actually have just Beating Disease because a lot of it is just, it's about 500 pages of what somebody needs to do to get well. Not just here, take this selection of remedies, but really,
mm-hmm.
what are all the different things that if you couldn't get to my clinic, what would you maybe need to do? Now, it's not the compendium of end-all, but it was just like so many people are in the kill-the-bug mentality in Lyme disease. And I know what you know what I'm talking about. It's the old antibiotic
right.
mentality of like, I will be well when my doctor can finally kill these bugs. But actually, it's not the bacteria. I mean, some of the greatest labs in the country that do some of the most remarkable lab testing for Lyme disease found that not after years of cocktails of antibiotics, not after my products, not after anybody else's natural products for Lyme disease, has anybody's blood ever tested clear of the bacteria, even if that person is completely asymptomatic year after year. So you're never getting rid of the bacteria, but you're healthy. And that's the point. Do you really care what you have if you have health from now on? You know, they found out that we now all have strep bacteria in our throats and in our body. We all
right.
have strep. And yet you may never get laryngitis ever again.
Mm-hmm.
So what changes? The condition
and you know, it's
in the throat
incredible.
Maybe when you screamed. Excuse me?
It's incredible here, too, because after Hurricane Katrina, everybody in this many, many, many people here in this area. Staff was rampant. I mean, it was just off the wall. And the doctors got really good at it. It was called Lance and Iodoform. That's it. You know, we're going to cut it. We're going to cut an X in it. We're going to pack it with Iodoform, and God bless you. And, you know, that, it was just... It was just crazy. And these people still to this day now, 10 years later, are having other symptoms of high rate of cancer, high rate of a lot of lung issues, high rates of too many medications. And all of that has culminated. I mean, it was crazy. It just like it escalated in the past 10 years here. And, you know, what did it start out with? It started out with a lot of exposures. It started out with a lot of stress. And, you know, everything that was going on at that time. So, really, that was like a download on your body, and it just kind of went, wham, here, you have at it. And people's bodies just said, can't do it, just can't do it.
We know it's interesting
you know?
When you look at the research, too, that was done in Germany. They found that in 100 people, let's say, that have the polio virus,
mm-hmm.
only one out of that 100 people would actually come down with polio, the disease.
Mm-hmm.
Now, think of that. I mean, we think, oh, my gosh, I have poliovirus. I'm going to
yeah.
get polio.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, the last determining factor apparently was the virus. I mean, it had to have other things that have gone wrong in the body before you can have disease. Now, it's interesting because all of our doctors have trained at the Hansa Center have trained with Dr. Rao of the Paracelsus Clinic in Switzerland in biological medicine. And I was reading in his book the other day that they've worked out the numbers now after all these years, and it's only like 1 in 30 people will ever get, who have the Lyme bacteria in their body, will ever get stage 1 Lyme disease. 1 in 30. But it's only 1 in 300 to 400 people that will go to stage 2 neurological Lyme. And they don't have the stats yet for stage 3. But isn't it interesting? Just having the bacteria doesn't mean you will ever come down with Lyme disease. You will have the bacteria maybe from a tick or mosquito or a flea or something, but you may never, ever have the disease. And they said also, I thought it was interesting in this, in his book I was reading, he said that they now know that antibiotics do not change any of the outcome of stage 1, 2, or 3. It doesn't prevent you from going. It's still the same numbers. Like if you started in stage 1 with antibiotics, it's still the same 1 to 300 ratio that's still going to go to stage 2 and 3.
And also, too, though, it is. And with Katrina, when we saw with the staff incident, is that that really showed, though, just what you were saying in the beginning, what we were talking about, is that it is a full circle about being able to take care of yourself. We're here, the environmental exposures, your stress modulation, where you were, not eating correctly, not getting your medications, and having all this bacteria and these heavy metals and everything around you. So really when everything around your circle has really fallen down, that's when a huge chronic illness is, I mean, they just, it's like for the feeding. It's sort of like, goodness, it's like sugar on cancer. It just loves it, you know, and it just happens so quickly.
Well, and isn't it funny how that medicine, mainstream medicine, is basically functions from a reductionist mentality. It's like they're trying to boil every illness down to one cause. Like I've seen more people that would just fight me to the death with whatever diagnosis they've been given because they don't want to know that they have to change everything. They can't just change one thing.
Right.
And I do want to make sure that people do understand that are listening, that I'm not saying that it's not important to get the body to kill off a bunch of bacteria and whatever infection you have.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but how you achieve that is what's in question. And at what point do you say, okay, how do we really get well, as opposed to just taking antibiotics or just taking some natural thing? So, again, I tell people all the time, it's just like a lady I talked to today, I made the analogy that we all use the same tools. And just like a carpenter building a house uses hammers and saws and drills, and yet one carpenter using the same tools may build a very bad house. But it isn't, but you go to the next carpenter and you say, well, I really don't want hammers and I really don't want screwdrivers because the last guy used hammers and screwdrivers and it didn't work. Because a lot of people do that. They'll say, well, I've already had homeopathy and I've already had nutrition and I've already done chiropractic and I've already done low-level lasers and I've already done magnet therapy. Dr. Jernigan, do you have something different? And I'm like, it's not the tools. It's the philosophy. It's the science. It's the what needs to happen inside of every single office visit.
Synchronicity.
That makes the big
period.
Difference. Yeah. Because the master builder makes you a mansion that you're proud of. But you have to commit. You can't say, well, I really wanted my mansion to be built in 2 weeks, Doc. I mean, I was going to give you 2 weeks, and I read on the internet that you got this guy out of the wheelchair in 2 weeks. Well, yeah, that does happen sometimes.
Yeah.
But at the same time, understand you can't even go to the gymnasium and work out for 3 months and hardly tell any difference in your muscles. And same with every system of your body. Every system in your body is interconnected. So you can't just treat, like somebody says, well, why are you treating this when it's my head that hurts?
Yeah.
Because it's all connected.
You know, and most of these people, most of these people can tell you about on their cell phones how they have to sync together Facebook and Twitter and their texts and their pictures and their this and their that. But when you're talking about their body, they have no clue what you're talking about and can't comprehend it. But they can tell you about their cell phone doing it. They can tell you about their tablet, how they sync it to the cloud and everything's all together, right?
Right.
But they can't comprehend that that syncing, S-Y-N-C, is the same thing you need to do in your body. As we've said before, it all has to work in a flow mechanism to be able to raise that energy level. Otherwise, you're going to have bits and pieces that are blowing. It's sort of like when, you, if you can remember an old-time movie, where the steamship or those puddle jumper cars, when they got ready to start to go, everything, one would sputter, one would start to work, one would go too fast, one would go too slow, and it'd all be happening on the same system. So really, that's, you know, you really need to be synced together to be able to have this going forward. Well, Dr. David, we have about 6 minutes left. Can you tell us a little bit more about, so they come to the clinic for the 2 weeks and they stay close by and everything's available there, and then they possibly come back another time, you know, maybe a few months later. Are they on product or are the product something that are...
Yes, the doctors established a protocol that they would follow at home, and then we also have consultations over the internet or over the telephone to modify as needed, because, again, if everything would sit still in the way of illness, you could just send them home with a selection of remedies and you'd progressively get well.
Right.
But because everything is changing constantly, you know, I mean, the argument you have with your husband, the little bit too much wedding cake that you ate at the wedding, the fact that you got around somebody with heavy-duty, nasty perfume and cologne or something like that, and you had to just sit next to them for hours maybe. All of this shifts the body. Everything shifts. And so in an ideal world, no, I wouldn't want them to go home. I mean, in an ideal world, there'd be a Hansa Center everywhere close by, and we'd really be able to problem solve everything as much as we need to, and that money would be no object and things like that. But right now, that's not the world we typically live in. But in an ideal world, that we'd send you home with a protocol of home-based therapies and supplements and compounded remedies. I mean, each doctor is actually compounding the remedies right there in the treatment room based on the testing and stuff. So everything is calculated. Nothing is left to just the doctor's guessing. You know, that's what most people are paying their doctor for, is their best educated guess. They don't know you're going to have an allergic reaction until you have one. And you come in and you say, well, I just don't feel right. And the doctor goes, well, and unfortunately in Lyme disease, the big thing is the doctors, for many of these people, are saying to expect to feel horrible for the first 5 years of treatment. And I just think that's barbaric, because I don't see it. I don't have to see that. I mean, our patients, like I say, we're bummed out if you're not better in the first treatment. So I think the sign of good treatment is that you start feeling better.
Yeah.
So,
and isn't
that's
that
kind of what
incredible?
We do in a nutshell. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've really enjoyed talking with you, and I thank you for giving me this forum to talk to your listeners.
Well, thank you
so
much.
But again, if anybody wants to look us up, we're at hansacenter.com, H-A-N-S-A, as in hansacenter.com. So you can check out my books. You can check out the Facebook Health Tips. Join me there. Again, that's dr.david, all one word, dr, like doctor, dot, as in a period, David, and then Jernigan, J-E-R-N-I-G-A-N. And you can read all my health tips.
Dr. David, it was a pleasure to have you with us. I've spoken many times to the listeners. We always say about being able to do all the things around that you need to do, because just pot-shotting at things is going to get you absolutely nowhere. All it's going to do is you get your time ticked off on the clock, that we call it. So it's really important to be able to find ways to be able to get some answers. So I'd like to thank you so much for being with us today. It was a pleasure.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Jeanette.
Thank you, and have a great day.
Blessings to you. All right.
Thank you so much. If you'd like more information about Dr. David, there is information on today's show page. Also, his link is there to directly be able to click on that link, and you will be able to find out more information about the Hansa Center. It will take you directly to there. Also, there's also a link, and if it's not there, I will have to check, but about being able to purchase his books. His books are available and listed on his website. So please do check out his website, and thank you so much for being with us today. It is a pleasure to have you with us. And until tomorrow, this is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and have a great evening.